Hello, everyone, and welcome to the July 2024 edition of Post Pro Res. My name is W.H. Park, joined as always by the Empress, Karen Peterson. Karen, how are you this fine July 4th evening? The night we are indeed recording this, not necessarily a day that this will be available to everyone, but it is July 4th in your home state of Florida.
Yes.
And are the fireworks going off?
The fireworks are going off in full effect. Everyone is like, America! I was hoping they were going to get rained out. But again, like I always say, if you guys see Zelda tonight, it's fireworks. Dogs don't like fireworks. Yes. So firework responsibly.
Is it fireworks or are people shooting their machine guns into the air?
I'm hoping in the quiet part of the Southeast Orlando in which I live that it is actually the works of fire and not any pew-pew-pew-pew-pews.
Or as we like to say over at MCU later, brap-brap, you know what I mean?
I'm not cool enough to use the brap-brap. No.
Brap-brap. Okay. You got to be on a 6-hour car trip all across New Jersey to go to Kevin Smith hotspots to be a part of Team Make-A-Wish there and do the brap brap.
Karen. Oh Lord! As I'm born and raised in New Jersey, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be willing to drive. I've made the state long drive. Not a fan of it.
No, I've only visited, so I can say my experiences in New Jersey have been nothing but positive. So
I do like pumping my own gas, though. That's something that's just still weird to me.
Rich Fan explained this to me about pumping your own gas in different states and how it's illegal, or like it's you they have to pump your gas for you in Jersey, right?
Correct.
You're right. It's illegal to pump your own gas. I was like, that's a very interesting concept where you cannot pump your own gas in certain states in the United States.
Which, you know, learning to drive at 16 and being used to it when I moved to Japan and had to learn how to drive, like learning to drive like on the opposite side of the road, opposite side of the car. The concept of a full service gas stand totally blew my mind. Like I wasn't used to people being like, let's wash your windows and fill up your tank and give you flowers on White Day. I was like, this is the best gasoline stand in the entire world.
There you go.
it ruined the experience for any other gas station, full service station I could ever go to.
I'd never learned to drive in Japan. I honestly didn't need to.
I needed to.
Because I lived in an urban enough area, like I didn't live in a huge city, but it was big enough for us like, okay, there's a train station to get to work. I didn't even have to take a train to get to work. I just walked to work. It took me 10 minutes from my apartment to my office where
so
I taught.
Jealous.
And then I got a new job and then that was just a train ride. And then even if I did have a car, based on the rules of this company, I wouldn't be, because I lived close enough to the station, they would say, you can't park, you can't drive to work. Because
really?
For ecological reasons.
Oh.
So, but also I had enough friends who had cars. Like if I needed a drive somewhere, They would like take me places, or they would say, "Oh, we'll take you up to, you know, Fujinomiya, and we'll get some Fujinomiya, you know, yakisoba and okonomiyaki, and you know, a lot of fun. It's good having friends with cars in Japan. I'll say that.
Yes.
I was worried if I spent 10 years driving on the other side of the road and sitting in the other seat to drive, that if I When I came back to Canada, I started driving, which, by the way, I have not started driving again because cars are expensive.
And
I don't really need to drive necessarily for my daily life here in Canada. So I don't see the point in having a car. Again, I have a lot of friends who have cars. Also, we have Uber and Lyft here
in
Canada. They still don't really have it fully in Japan. So, which is the strength of the Japanese taxi union.
Karen. I mean, the taxi union, I mean, honestly, taxis in Japan are a spectacle to behold.
I just wanted, you know, the only thing I wanted taxis to have when I was there was have a fucking card reader so I could pay with my credit card. You have to have cash, which, you know.
Some of them take, like, you know, the QR code, like the smartphone, like you can tap on them.
Yeah, what I wanted them to do was...
But those are few and far between as well.
I wanted them to accept my Suica card, my train pass.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That, you know, just tap, and then it's like, okay, this costs, like, you know, 1,236.35 yen. Okay, tap.
Hey, if you use it on a vending machine, you should be able to pay up.
Yes.
Just saying.
That's right. Exactly. Anyways, before we want to actually keep this show... a reasonable length. We don't want to go 12 hours like Martin Bushby did on his charity stream.
Sir.
We were the second last segment.
We were the semi main event.
And my God, Martin, what a trooper! He kept up, but I could tell he was looking forward to the finish line on that. So
I thought he did amazing.
He did. Martin Bushby, if you're listening, kudos to you, my friend. You're a great man, a great cause, great humanitarian. You can get me in front of this camera and this microphone for like 3 hours, let alone 12. So there you go. Better man than me. But we're going to talk about things going on in the world of Japanese professional wrestling, Karen. Also, things that happened recently in American professional wrestling that have consequences, ramifications in Japan. But before we, you know, but today we're gonna do something. We're gonna change it up. We're gonna start off with Karen talking about the Joshi news. Lots of Joshi news, I feel.
Yeah, I was very proud of you to see all the Joshi notes that you provided for today's show. Honestly, I was like, oh, look at all this. I was just gonna pick and choose stuff off of, you know, this past month's Dream Slam Monthly, which is now available over at postwrestling.com.
Oh, there you go. Well, we can only, well, I mean, it's your segment, so we'll I follow your lead. If I feel there's something else I want to mention, I'll throw that in there. But go ahead, Karen.
All right. So, well, of course, the tournament that started my entire journey here at Post, the 5-Star Grand Prix for Stardom, is coming up next month, starting on August 10th at the Yokohama Budokan. And the finals will be on August 31st at Musashino Forest Sports Plaza. This year, they've decided to break the A block, or the red blocks, and the red stars and the blue stars into smaller blocks. So you have four blocks. It's a four-block tournament. You have red stars A, red stars B, blue stars A, and blue stars B. And this is where things get unnecessarily complicated. Red stars A will have Maika, Hazuki, Natsukotora, Natsupoi, Konami, Manami from Senjo, and then they're also holding, like, New Japan is having a tournament for the final qualifying slots in the A block and B block. They are also holding a smaller tournament to qualify. So in Red Stars A, there's a tournament winner one. But wait, there's more. In Red Stars B, you've got Mayu Iwatani, Tam Nakano, Momo Watanabe, Azumi, Mei Seira, Saya Ida, and then Tomoka Inaba from Just Tap Out, who is also a member of God's Eye. Blue Stars A, you've got Saori Anno, Shuri, Starlight Kid, Xena, Koguma, X, who's not yet announced yet, and tournament winner two. So there's two unknowns in Blue Stars A at the moment. And then in Blue Stars B, you have Suzu Suzuki, Saya Kamitani, Hanan, Amisore, your girl, Saki Kashima, Tekla.
My wife.
Your waifu for life, Saki Kashima, Tekla, and then XX. So there are two slots that are available for someone that's unknown. There's no confirmation if they're going to be people within Stardom or outside of Stardom or outside of Japan. We just don't know. And then the last, I think on the semifinals, people from Block or the Red Stars A is going to fight somebody from Blue Star. I don't know. I'm not even thinking about it right now because my brain's on the G1. So that, and I'm not covering this tournament, but I will say this now, and I'll probably say it when we record next month. At the end of August, from the 20th to the 31st, I am on vacation. So Dream Slam Monthly for August will be released September 7th on my birthday. So easy to remember because I'm going on vacation, and I don't. Yes. I love wrestling. I love the 5-Star Grand Prix, but I'm gonna completely unplug and just eat food and knit and have a good time with my mom. So that's what's going on with that. Then following that, of course, on the 28th of last month, New Japan Pro Wrestling went from being the sibling promotion of Stardom to now being the parent company of Stardom. What that entails and how things are going to be moving forward, we don't know just yet, but I am curious to see what happens with that. Then, you know, we have the good old Dreamstar fighting Marigold had this little announcement at a Korakuen show. I don't know if you know about it or not, but, you know, Io Sky, formerly Io Shirai, the one of the three pillars of OG Rossi Yogawa era Stardom, is challenging Utami Hayashishita to a special singles match at Marigold Summer Destiny 2024, which is actually Saturday, July 13th at Ryogoku Kokugikan, or Ryogoku Sumo Hall. And that card right now is looking like Komomo Minami and Reya Seto, who is formerly a member of the Sendai Joshi wrestler, Sendai Girls roster. They are having a singles match. Both debuted within the last couple of years. They're both very new. There is a tournament match,
The United National?
Yes, the United National Tournament first round rematch. Mirai Miku Aono, they've been having this time limit draw series where they've been trying to have this this first round 15-minute match, but it keeps going to a 15-minute time limit, 5-minute extension draw, 15-minute time limit, 5-minute extension draw. They keep being very even. Like, no one's advanced in this tournament. They're just, instead of having them drop out of the tournament entirely for like having a draw, they're just gonna have it at the show. I'm guessing after that, whoever wins that will fight Bozilla.
Yeah,
for the United National Championship, which I think is cool. I am curious. I do like that it's kind of like one former Stardom, one former Actress Girls, like kind of a merging of the two companies, you take two of the promising rising stars / probably future aces of either company, and they're like, we're just going to have you guys literally fight forever because they can't seem to get out of this first round tournament match.
Well, I mean, my feeling about the way that's being booked is that it is telling that like Rossi Ogawa is not saying, oh, all everyone from Stardom, they're just going to be absolutely dominant. He's like, I signed these wrestlers from Actress Girls, and like he sees potential in Miku Aono, and he's like, okay, yeah, but like he doesn't care. He's not like, you know, like Vince McMahon or like Eric Bischoff. Yeah. Oh, you didn't come. I didn't create you.
Yeah,
you know, you're not getting over in my company, even though you're not part of my company.
Yeah,
it's not like that. Like Rossi Ogawa is very like business minded. He's like, hey, can I make money with Miku Aono in the future as a top wrestler? Yeah, so I'm going to push her to be on the level of Mirai, who was a rising star in Stardom.
Yep.
And like, I think a big coup for Marigo to get her because it's like, she has so much, like there's years of her, you know, being a top level star.
Absolutely.
For Marigold and making a lot of money for herself. I hope.
Yeah.
I assume. And for the promotion and everyone that works with her. So I like it. I like that this is leading into the big show on July 13th. What other, like I've been looking at this card. I think it's a very, really nice looking card. I cannot wait to watch this show.
The other matches include Koki Yamare and Chika Goto against Victoria Yuzuki and X. They haven't announced who her partner is just yet, but those are also where they all have very short, like within the last year and a half or so debut. So they're all very, they are also like, you know, the future of this company.
Yeah.
So I like that they're like kind of pairing them off in that way, giving them all an opportunity to shine in a match where they're not having to, they're all going to have to fight uphill, but it's all against each other, or they're going to have to fight uphill together. So I'm looking forward to that. Then you have Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki against Myla Grace and Zeta Steel. From what I've heard, very positive things about Myla Grace and Zeta Steel on this tour of Japan. I think it's their first time each, so they're all both doing very well. Then you have the Marigold versus LLPWX, Nanae Takahashi, Nao Ishikawa, and Mai Sakurai versus Shinobu Kandori, Takako Inoue, and Nordi. I don't know who Nordi is, but
Oh, Shinobu Kandori is like, you know, a legend.
Well, that one I know, yes. But I don't know who Nori is. Then you have the Marigo Super Flyweight Championship. Or no, I think it's Super Fly. I think I remember seeing Sunny say something that it was the Super Fly One Word Championship, which is going to be Natsumi Shozuki versus Misa Matsui. And then, again, as I said earlier, Bozilla versus the winner of Mirai and Aono for the United National Championship. Then you have Queen of Queen, which is Utami versus Io. And then should Julia, knock on wood, be medically cleared, the match between her and Sari will be for the red belt, the Marigold red belt, and that's going to be your main event.
And what's the title of
Oh, that? God, you would ask that. Hang on, let me look it up.
Of course I would ask that, because the listeners are asking that, Karen.
I understand.
But I want to talk about this Marigold Super Fly Championship. I like the fact that they're using that kind of a name for it instead of like the high speed, which I assume is going to be their version of the high speed championship. Is yes, for like maybe smaller, faster wrestlers.
I think it's 55 kilograms and under. Don't ask me what that is in pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's we've talked about this before. I like the naming of these titles in Marigold. And I love the throwback to the United National Championship, which is a title used in classic All Japan Pro Wrestling as part of the Triple Crown. I'm hoping like Rasuga was just like, he had a tendency to like have a lot of belts in his company.
And he's got a lot of belts in this one. They're growing, but and then there's going to be the Twin Star, their tag championship, I think. Yeah. It was also
shout out Arasan. You know, Arasan love right there. One of his former projects.
Marigold World Championship. They're keeping that one simple.
That's good. That's great. I love it. And are we? I forget. Are we getting trios titles in this company?
I do not remember seeing anything about trios titles being announced. I mean,
I don't think it's necessary.
I don't think they have a deep enough roster yet, but no. I also don't think they need one.
No.
I think that's one of the things that kind of I love about Stardom, but I also hate about Stardom. It kind of feels like they have an abundance of belts where it's almost like there's like a participation trophy. Like everybody gets a belt.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't need a belt.
No. No one gets over if everyone gets over. Yeah. You know, I kind of feel like, I think we talked about this before, like Marigold feels like a throwback to Arasan. Like his project before, before Stardom,
pre-Stardom project, and I think that's very intentional. But also, it's because there's such limited information about the Joshi scene prior to the boom that Stardom and Tokyo Joshi Pro and like the current promotions have. I think it's a good way to throw it back because it makes people curious and want to dig deeper.
Yeah, and you can go to a shop in somewhere in Korakuen area, like near Tokyo Dome City, and spend 7,000 yen on a VHS tape of the UWFI and maybe some Arasan, because that's what VHS tapes cost in fucking Japan still.
It blows my mind. I think that was the weirdest thing when I was over there, was like how much VHS tapes cost, how much DVDs cost.
Yeah.
How much ridiculous. A CD costs? I'm like, why is this so much money? I mean, at least with CDs, sometimes you stick it in a computer and they have like a little video included on it. But
just to clarify, people are still thinking they make VHS tapes still. No, I'm talking about like
this
old
is like
ones.
Vintage,
yeah,
old,
vintage
like,
that old, collectors
older than many of us probably
here. Like I probably United States, same as Canada. It's like you can't give VHS tapes away.
Yeah,
you can't. There, it's like you want this VHS tape. You're going to pay big money for this.
Oh man, I found some anime on VHS in my garage and I'm like, I couldn't pay someone to take it off me at this point.
I think I might be finally able to unload my Neon Genesis Evangelion box set on DVD at some point. Cause hot take, Karen, I'm not a fan of Evangelion.
See, neither. All right. I'll say this. I liked the remakes that were when they condensed it into movies. In series as a whole, it is, yes, for the time it was made, it was very cutting edge, but I was one of the people who was like, I'm like, okay, some of this is kind of weird. Okay, some of this is kind of uncomfortable.
I hated the ending. Yeah. I was like, fuck you. Give me back. I'm just going to rewatch to wash the terrible taste out of my mouth of Evangelion. I'm going to rewatch Gundam Wing. because that's an awesome.
Heck yeah.
That is one of the greatest mecha animes of all time. One of the greatest Gundam series of all time. You know what's, have you seen Gundam Wing, Karen?
Not in a very long time. All right.
Have you ever seen?
Like over 20 years ago.
Have you seen Seed?
Yes, but I couldn't tell. Like, I was in college back then.
Let me tell you the problem. I like Seed overall, but let me tell you the problem with Seed. Every fucking episode has a recap that's like 5 minutes long, it feels like. And I'm like, why am I watching a recap? Seriously. Even if it's episodic television, you don't need it.
Episode experience.
Don't need it. Like, it's to fill time. It's ridiculous.
Time filler.
Have you ever watched Gundam 00?
No.
Okay. When that came out, I was like, oh my God, they just remade Wing, but updated it.
Yeah.
Like, you can find parallels to every major character from Wing into Gundam 00. I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite Gundam series of all time is Gundam 00.
I'll have to chase it up. I'm looking for I kind of want to start watching some old, like rewatching some stuff. I don't think I'm going to sit through all of Dragon Ball.
No, that's like three million episodes.
You don't need to watch like seven episodes of charging up for a fight for the fight not to happen.
No.
But yeah, so.
Can I just say also on the Gundam tip, Iron-Blooded Orphans. Holy shit, that was so good. Those are my
Orphans. Okay.
Yes, that was a more recent one. Maybe it's like almost, I don't know, 7 years old now, but it's really good. Anyway, sorry, we went on a tangent about Gundam here. Anyways,
it happens.
Yes. But I one thing I think that's really smart about this card on the 13th at Sumo Hall is that if Julia for some reason is not cleared, we want her to be cleared. I really want to see her and Sari in a singles match. It's not really going to affect the card too badly because you do have this semi-main event of Utami versus her hero, Io Sky. I think for me, what sold it was the surprise and the genuine shock and elation of Utami when they announced that, when they showed Io announcing, I'm going to fight you, that she got her dream match to happen.
Yeah.
It signaled an obvious relationship being developed between the WWE, TKO Sports with Cyber Agent, whatever. So because not only do we have this, but we'll talk about it a little later, but AJ Styles is coming to have a match with Naomichi Marufuji on an upcoming Pro Wrestling Noah show. When we'll talk about that, but this is, I think, you know, like I can see like, you know, maybe WWE saying, you know what, you know, this person in NXT, we want them to have a little bit more seasoning, get a little bit more, because we have
absolutely
hype, because send them to Noah for like 6 months, send them to Marigold for 6 months where they have to do everything, right? Yep. They have to say, like what Tony Storm talks about all the time, I had to set up the ring, I had to mop the floors and the dojo,
I had to do the laundry,
right?
I had to fold the laundry. Yeah.
Guess what? They're going to say, you go to Marigold, you go to Noah, and you go in the dojo. If they tell you to mop the floors and cook the dinner, you're doing it.
Mop the floors and cook the dinner.
Okay. Yeah. So I think also a lot of today's athletes, like wrestlers who get a chance to work in Japan and they get to go in the dojo system, they'll like, okay, yeah, I want to do that. That's cool.
I feel like some of them are very receptive to the full experience, the full dojo experience. But my hot take on this card, for me, the main event in my mind is Utami versus Io, purely for the historical history. I mean, don't get me wrong, Julia versus Sari, it's a longstanding singles rematch that they've wanted to have. It'll be great. But for me, there's just something, Utami basically looking at Rossi and the audience and being like, is it really okay for me to have this match, for me to realize my dream? Like, but you know, and it just has so much more weight. And I also think it's a great way to, you know, later this month on the 25th, 26th, and 27th, WWE is finally going back to Japan for a tour for the first time in like 5 years since the pandemic. They haven't been back. So this is kind of a good segue to be like, hey guys, remember when we kind of took Io away from you? Well, guess what? She's back and we're bringing almost everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I think those would be like very well-received shows. WWE usually is very well-received in Japan. Like they're, you know, I talked about this before and like years ago on Pros Perez with like JoJo Remy, that there are dedicated WWE fans in Japan. They do not watch Perez. They only watch WWE.
And then they have a very good cosplay scene as
they
well.
They do.
They really commit to, like, even though, like, some of the wrestlers aren't even in that character costume anymore or even with WWE anymore, they're still out there.
They're still
dressing up, and I'm like, Blue I love Pants that for you.
Cosplayer's still out there somewhere.
Pardon?
Blue Pants cosplayer is still out there somewhere.
I think so, yeah.
So, So I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk about that show on the August edition of this of the show. I want to talk a bit about the conversion, Karen. What were your thoughts about? And I know you've already given your thoughts, but like just kind of like your cliff notes about what you thought of the overall, you know, big matches on this, particularly I suppose the Queen's Quest versus Oueda Tai final chapter.
Yeah.
And then the title matches on this show.
For me, the Queen's Quest, getting the tables turned on them for it being like the last person leaves the unit into everybody leaves the unit, that like the last person standing is the last person left with Queen's Quest. I thought it was an interesting take, but it also signifies a major departure from a very significant, long-standing faction. Established faction in Stardom. The other two remaining ones are Oedo Tai and Stars. All the other units that they have now are all new. Even though Don Del Mundo got dissolved, God's Eye is probably the most senior after that. So it was a very emotional match. And watching the post-match, it was really hard because, you know, Kamatani gets left alone, very intentionally gets left alone. So I feel like they're probably preparing her. Spoiler alert, I think she's the one that's slated to win the 5-star. That's my gut feeling, is that they're preparing her for the red belt because there really isn't anything else left for her to do. But also they're going to probably build a faction around her that it doesn't involve anybody. You know, obviously can't involve anybody that's formerly of Queen's Quest. I wish they kind of would do the same thing with Oedo Tai. Like I really want something different. Like unless they're going to reorganize Oedo Tai and focus center it around Tekla, which is what they should do. Because, you know, Starlight Kid's now left out of there. And I don't know if they're going to ever push Momo the way she should be pushed as a member of Oedo Tai. But Micah's having a good run with the red belt. It was another solid match. Let's see. Starlight Kid versus Mesera. After Queen's Quest, you know, got gutted, basically, Shuri and all of God's Eye came down, and Starlight Kid also came down and was joined by Suzu Suzuki and Mesera. So they're trying to, you know, pick the bones a little too quickly, because basically Azumi looked at them and said, "We're flattered that you all came down here, but like, now is not the time. Like, kind of give us some time to sort ourselves out and figure out what we want to do." But I feel like Azumi and Miyu Amasaki are probably going to squad up with Starlight Kid and Sarah and Suzu, and that Lady C and Hina might be making the move over to God's Eye. That's where I think they are going to be shifting those.
Can I just tell you, when I watched that angle?
Yeah.
I just thought, man, Shuri looks like such a jobber. when Kid comes out to like recruit Azumi,
yeah,
that's who she wants the most. She wants Azumi.
Of course, she does. Everybody wants Azumi. She's like, well, she's one of the most veteran. Why they're not building a unit around Azumi, I don't understand.
Well, I feel it's also they're going to make them tag team. They're going to give what the fans. This is fan service. They want to see to be on the same side for the first time in their careers. Right?
Yeah, the eternal foes are now the best bubbies. I kind of feel like Mirai leaving God's Eye kind of left a bit of a hole in it. Amisore is filling that slot very well. Saki is having a good time, but she's not the hardcore MMA, you know, striker that most of the other members are. So I like, even if Hina and Lady C go there, I don't know. Like I kind of feel like Shuri is having to be shouldered with making people tougher or making people into better wrestlers, which that shouldn't be her job and that shouldn't be the point of her faction. But it's the, like, you're not splitting up Stars. You're not, you're, they're, not doing, I don't know what they're doing with Cosmic Angels, but it's an interesting approach. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. There's a lot of unknowns, and I feel like while they're doing consistently solid work, I feel like Stardom is still struggling to figure out who they are without Julia and without Utami, who were two very notable names in the last 5 years in that company. They're righting the ship very quickly, but I just hope that should they continue to do other things like dissolve other factions or, you know, regroup or whatever, that they, like, I know they're very keen on making this the Bushiroad era, the post-Rossi era of Stardom, but do it in a way where you're still honoring the past and not like kind of like, I don't want to say disrespecting, but like stripping out what brought a lot of people into Stardom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I feel they want to kind of remove the fingerprints of Rossi Ogawa from the company because they have such bad feelings, ill feelings towards him.
Yeah.
That is what it is. But I do think probably the fans suffer and some of the wrestlers, you know, trying to make it, you know, make a name for themselves and trying to like, I just want to wrestle. I just want to have good matches. I want to make money.
Yeah.
And cement my legacy as a wrestler. And it's hard to do that when you don't book very, very well. And, you know, you're more interested in like getting rid of the creator of this company's fingerprints all over it.
And this is not really related to the start of the conversion, but it's kind of related to that, is that recently on a Instagram live, Kamatani went on and talked about how a fan came to a signing and got a bunch of portraits and was harassing her while she was signing the portraits. He basically was like, well, I paid money to be here, and was not being very nice to her. And like, I've never heard of anything like that happen, like where a fan is outwardly harassing a talent to their face at a show. I haven't heard of that happening in Stardom since Hana. So it's like, why is this happening now? Like it's, you know, it's not that I don't want Stardom to succeed, but I want them to stop whatever is going on, that this is becoming a situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, we're security.
Yeah, it's I don't want the talent to have to defend themselves from the disgruntled fans who are mad at what's happening back in the backstage politics. We tried with Stardom trying to move to this new era, but also trying to get rid of like everything that, you know, Rossi had a hand in. Like it shouldn't be up to the talent to have to defend to defend themselves and the company when it just seems like some of this there could be more diplomacy. And, you know, Japan tends to be diplomatic about a lot of things, but I don't know why this kind of, some things just don't feel very, they feel intentional, but not as with enough omotenashi, like enough delicate and the normal politeness that we're accustomed to. Like some of it.
If you're a fan and you're harassing a talent in any wrestling promotion, I do think like staff.
Oh yeah. But also other fans need to call it out. And I know that's not the Japanese way of
doing it. Please leave. You know,
you're not welcome here.
You're not welcome. We took a picture. You're banned from ever coming to our events. You know, make it serious. Like that shouldn't happen to anyone for sure.
Okay. So, do you want me to run down the results of everything from the show for starting the conversion?
No. I think we got the big points here.
Yeah.
I do want to make a quick note about, the big thing that happened on the 6/29 show at Corken Hall. We have new Goddess of Stardom champions, champions that I'm really happy about. I love Hazuki and Kaguma, but this is a tag team I've wanted to see for a long time. And now they are the champions. So that is God's Eye, Shiri, and Konami finally together as a regular tag team. And they became the Goddess tag team champions. Konami with the sleeper hold on Hazuki, which she would not let go of. But they won in just over 16 minutes. And, what did you think when you saw the result? And I have not seen the match itself, but I was very happy about the result. And I think this is something that I would like to see this team hold these belts. And I think if you made them a dominant championship team that staves off, you know, challenger after challenger after challenger. You have a potential for then, you know, when they do lose the belts, make that team, the team that beats them, you make the people in that team, but also then you can catapult then Shuri back into the red title scene.
Yeah.
Also Konami as well, maybe into the white belt or into the red belt scene herself as well.
Honestly, with Shuri and Konami as the new tag champions, what they should do is have them carry the belts to the end of the year to Dream Queendom. Let them plow through the tournament. They don't need to win the tournament because usually, you know, the Goddesses of Stardom tournament that happens usually in October, November, that winning team usually goes on to Dream Queendom to challenge for the belts. But let them just run through everyone and everything. And then, you know, when Azumi and Starlight Kid win the tournament, as they probably will, and face Shuri and Konami, and, you know, Bob's your uncle. There you go.
There you go. Bob is your uncle.
Bob is your uncle.
What other notes do you have here that we can talk about, Karen?
Let me check the Dream Slam monthly. Well, we're going to talk about the questionable cabinet, hidden window, forbidden door later on. Asuka is out of she's out of surgery for her knee and she's rehabbing it. Tsukasa Fujimoto and her IWGP challenge against Mayu Iwatani had to stop due to her hurting her shoulder and her elbow. She had a ligament and elbow damage, so they had to stop the match. So Mayu got victory six, I believe.
What about this Sendai Girls show?
Sendai Girls. I love me some Sendai Girls. And I am curious to see how moving forward they're going to be working with Stardom and working with other promotions. Because it seems like, you know, previously Mako Satomura, you know, went to WWE and she was linked with WWE for a very long time. And it's unclear as to if she's still under contract with them or not, because she has been wrestling in Japan. But I do like the variety that Sendai Girls usually has. And they're, if you haven't watched them, they're on Wrestle Universe with like a lot of the other promotions. I would queue up a show because they tend to have very, you know, sleeper hits. There's a lot of stuff that's like really good on there. And they always have, you know, I love that Hiroyu Matsumoto is finally coming back because she was out injured for a while. But yeah, this card with Yuna versus Yura Suzuki should be fun. Sakura Hirata, for those who have heard me talk about the Hanakamura Memorial Show, she's the one that does the Hanakamura cosplay. She also did a great Takeshita cosplay. If you go back into it's. She even puts on like a rubber muscle suit, so she has washboard abs. It's worth a watch. Versus you, that'll be interesting as well. Aja Kong, Hiroyu Matsumoto, and Zonas from Evolution Joshi versus Venny, Millie McKenzie. Oh, Millie McKenzie! I love to see Millie McKenzie and Miyuki Takase. Oh, that'll be a fun time. Nina Samuels and Lana Cross versus Suri and Chi Chi from from Evo Joe. Hashimoto versus Jordan Grace for the TNA.
That's what I, you know. Jordan Grace is coming to Sendai Girls.
Let's go. To defend
her TNA title against Chihiro Hashimoto.
I'm sweating. Wow, that's spicy. And then Dash Chisako versus Momo Watanabe. I believe I saw somewhere that might be a hardcore match.
That will be a hardcore rules match, yeah.
Yeah, because Dash has taken umbrage with how Momo Watanabe tries to play hardcore match girl, but she's really not. And then the Sendai Girls World Tag Match with Manami and Ryo Mizunami against Miyu Momono Yuriko Oka. Oh, that'll be a fun little match.
I really like...
Where's Miko Wana on this card? Why...
Momono, she's great. Firecracker. She's a very small wrestler, but she's super tough. Anytime she gets in the ring with Chihiro Hashimoto, it's great.
Oh, and that was probably one of the bigger notes from the start of the conversion is that Mika Iwata, who is currently the Sendai Girls world champion, she beat Saori Anno for the Wonder Stardom Championship.
Yes.
So, and which is a big power move. I didn't expect. Honestly, when she and Shuri faced off at the Hanakimura show, I wanted Shuri versus Mika. Somebody please give me that match. I need it for the science and all of the kicky fight stuff. But yeah, that's a good little card. And then they have, oh, there it is. On the 20th at Sendai Pit, and they're going to have Miko Wada versus Mina Shirakawa. That was the match I was thinking of. And Chihiro Hashimoto and Yu, which is team 200 kilogram against Starlight Kid and Miyu Amasaki. They're going to throw Starlight Kid and Miyu Amasaki into the 18th row.
I think it'll be fun. I think
it'll be a great match, but they're gonna. There's a very sizable disparity between the two teams.
Yeah, Starlight Kid against anyone the size of like Hashimoto or you should be fun. I think her speed will befuddle them, so to speak.
Did you happen to see the Despe Invitational?
No, I have not watched that show yet. No, I heard Despy was like almost naked in it.
Well, yes, there's that, but that was not the reason I was mentioning it during the Joshi section. No, it was El Desperado and Mima Shimoda against Starlight Kid and Dragon Kid. So it was like Despy's sibling rivalry tag match. So if you haven't seen that pay-per-view on the New Japan World, I would highly recommend it to a friend or neighbor. It's a fun show. It's not very serious. You get to see Minoru Suzuki and Hiromu take off their wrestling boots and fight barefoot on Legos. Chris Brooks does the hardcore match. It's a good time.
There you go. One thing more I want to just quickly take note of and talk about before we move on is Sariism. We'll be having a self-produced Sari's next self-produced show on July 20th at the Shinjuku Phase, a place I've never seen wrestling at.
Me so neither.
I would like to go there one of these days.
I've been told it's a cozy little venue.
It's small. Yes, I've heard that too. Sariism Chapter 4, July 29th at Shinjuku Phase. The only match announced is a special dream tag match. Karen, Sari, and Natsupoi taking on Takumi Iroha and AZM, a.k.a. Azumi. Ooh,
that's going to be a very fast and very hard-hitting match for everybody.
Yes. Lots of really great interpromotional things happening in the world of Joshi. I think it's exciting time, you know, especially with the addition of a major player like Marigold with the backing of, you know, Wrestle Universe. It's great. I love it. The more places people can work, the better, I feel.
More paychecks for people. That's all that matters.
So let's quickly talk about Forbidden Door. I watched this actually at a bar. I went to the Rec Room here in downtown Toronto, and I watched Smash Wrestling present a live card. It was a very fun show. Kudos to Sebastian Suave for producing a very fun show that I got to attend with two friends. And then afterwards, they took down the ring, set up the tables, and then we watched Forbidden Door. And I kind of want to go over some of the more, you know, I think the big thing is, Karen, you know, Nubigen says, we're not the subservient partner in this relationship with AEW. But to quote Kazuchika Okada's new character these days, you know, New Japan is AEW's bitch. Okay. That's what they are. And if you just take a look at the way things are booked, it plays out. Okay. Let's see. From the pre-show, the Kings of the Black Throne defeated Ishii teaming with Kyle O'Reilly. Odd tag team, Roderick Strong team with Gabe Kidd, and Private Party by Pitfall. I forget who got the pin because it was such a long show. Then third match, Karen, Tom Nakano from Stardom teams with Willow Nightingale, and they defeated Chris Statlander and the aforementioned Momo Watanabe, who was pinned by Tam. So at least they had that, but why couldn't Willow pin Chris, or I would have Chris pin Willow to promote their match, you know, their grudge match, and you know, build up Willow's getting revenge on her. That would make more sense to me. No, we'll have the Stardom talent lose that match. Mariah May, formerly of Stardom, defeated Saraya. I have no problem with that. I hate Saraya. I think she's horrible. Please leave wrestling. The Lucha Brothers. This is the best match on this pre-show, Karen. I don't know if you watched this. Lucha Brothers teaming with Mystico. Apparently the original Mystico. I didn't know this, that he's back in the gimmick. Defeated Los Ingobernables de Japón, Yodasuji, Titan, and Hiromu Takahashi. Who was it? It was Mystico, wasn't it? Defeated Titan. Man, Titan looked fucking awesome in this match. Can I just say? It was great. But again, okay, so who takes the loss? Well, LIJ. Who takes the loss? Stardom talent. Okay, there you go. Let's move on. Main show. We won't go through every match. Okay, match. The Elite. The Young Bucks with Okada defeated the Acclaimed teaming with Hiroshi Tanahashi because Okada hit the Rainmaker and pinned Tanahashi. Why couldn't he pin Max Caster? I don't know. Wouldn't that make more sense? Because they seem to be building something between Okada and the Acclaimed.
To go back to what you just said about Okada's little soundbite there, it's the one that defeated the ace to take over the company, to leave the company, to pin the ace who's now the company president.
Yes. Yes.
Just letting that sink in.
Yes. Think about this. Just what Karen said. Bryan Danielson defeated Shingo Takagi. Maybe my favorite match on this show, Karen. It was awesome. But, you know, I mean, I can't question that because that makes sense for if you're doing it to push the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Also, yeah. Because the winner of that will get a title shot at All in Wembley. So I don't see Shingo being the draw to sell a lot of tickets for Wembley.
He'll be recovering from the G1 at that point.
Yes. Also, the booking timing of the booking of like the G1, not good. Timeless Toni Storm, formerly a Stardom wrestler, former WWE wrestler, defeated Mina Shirakawa by pinfall. This fine for what it was.
Yeah.
But the angle afterwards, come on. Just pure sports kissing, entertainment.
Literally kissing and making up and becoming a throuple and strutting off into the sunset. That didn't do it for you?
No, I was just like embarrassed to watch it. You know, I was just like, wow, this is so dumb. It's like you're just reducing these women to like, you know, sexual objects again.
The commentary during this match made me very uncomfortable. It made me very uncomfortable.
Zack Sabre Jr., finally, a New Japan guy who's probably going to get signed by AEW at some point. I can see Tony Khan trying to get this guy. Defeated Orange Cassidy. Okay, you know what? This also might have been one of my favorite matches. I thought that was so good. Like, when Orange Cassidy, you know, like, I've not been an Orange Cassidy fan for most of his career, but I will say this. I like the idea that Orange Cassidy's gimmick, the being, like, you know, a slacker, or sometimes I think they call him a sloth, is actually a psychological tactic. And he plays more into that in AEW when he fights people like Zack Sabre Jr. or like Shibata or who else. Serious Orange Cassidy, I am a big fan of, actually. And I just want, you know what? The only thing I want him to do, get rid of the denim. Get like ninja pants. Like, that's why I want to team up with Shibata, man. And he gets like those kind of baggy urban ninja pants. You look at it, folks.
He likes the you want like the Moxley murder dad.
Kind of, but more youthful, you know, more in keeping with his age. But anyways, that's a small quibble. This is a great match. Yeah. I did not know who was going to win it. That's the best part. And ZSJ got the win. Great, great match. Samoa Joe, Hook and Shibata defeated Chris Jericho and Big Bill with Jeff Cobb, by pinfall. Who got it? Hook got the win. Yeah. Not on Jeff Cobb, though. Thank God for that. On Chris Jericho. That's good.
I would have been fighting somebody if that was the case.
Okay. In the ladder match that should not have been on the show, but should have been on Dynamite, Jack Perry defeated Takeshita, Mark Briscoe, Dante Martin, Leo Rush, and El Fantasmo. El Fantasmo with the bump of the night as Takeshita Blue Thunder powerbombed him off the apron through tables. That poor guy.
I hope he is doing nothing but resting and icing everything, you know, because the G1's in a few weeks.
Yes. And then the last two matches, Karen, I did not watch because I was at this bar and I was like, you know what? It's almost 11. I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch the rest later. And I haven't found the time to watch them. But, you know, Mercedes Moné wins more New Japan gold. She is the NJPW Strong Women's Champion, defeating Stephanie Vaquer for that match. I have not watched it. I'm sure it was good.
The audience being, you know, New Yorkers and Long Island were very against Mercedes. I don't know if it was just because she's from Boston or they were really all about CMLL and Stephanie Vaquer, because they were firmly behind Vaquer for a significant part of this match, as was I.
Tetsuya Naito regained.
Yep, sure did.
The IWGP World title from John Moxley. And I just, and you know, Karen, my thing is why?
Because the IWGP World Champion needs to be in the G1.
Why did John Moxley even need to fucking win this belt in the first place if plan wasn't to fucking put over a fucking younger talent?
I mean, you, me, Bruce, we've gone in circles about this for months. And also, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, with as prestigious and as long of a lineage as it has in the semi-main event, this wasn't AEW and New Japan present Forbidden Door. This was AEW presents Forbidden Door. Because, I mean, I've seen the reviews of the match, and I understand why it was probably slotted here. But at the same time, it just bums me out. But I mean, I'm going to throw my flowers at Swerve and Ospreay. What I've seen of their match, it was fantastic. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know what, it just doesn't feel like a fair split on the show.
No,
that when it comes to the women's title, that, you know, Mercedes was the one that was supposed to originally win the Strong Championship when it was developed, but she got injured in the final tournament against Willow. So I like that they gave her the full circle moment where she finally gets the title, but they really just kind of yanked the rug out of Vaquer because she was really doing a lot of good work. And if Mercedes as champion is not on every single New Japan Strong show that they have while she is champion, then they need to take the belt off of her or merge it into the IWGP because it's not fair.
Didn't they lose their Strong men's title to have it merged into an AEW title?
Oh, is that where that went?
I think so. I think it's part of the Continental title, right?
No, I thought Gabe Kidd has it.
Oh, right. Oh, like, okay. Might as well be part of the fucking Continental title then.
I mean, that's where you see the prestige of these belts, that we can't even, like, you know, as two people who regularly cover the scene, we don't know where they are.
What have they done with Gabe Kidd as a champion of this brand? Nothing. Like,
he tried to throw Kiyomiya out of a balcony in Korakuen Hall, you know, a little bit of homicide, but
they Noah pushes this guy fucking harder than New Japan does.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I really feel like a lot of these people in certain companies should just, like, say, fuck you, I'm leaving. Go someplace that's going to treat you with, like, Gabe Kidd. Honestly, he should fucking jump to Noah. He really should.
I mean, Oiwa is doing really well over there right now on his excursion. Like, he's doing great.
And like, I can see him, like, you know, he's going to have to go back contractually.
Yeah.
I can see in the future, he's like, Cyberflights, give me, you know, they got money. They can offer me a big contract.
They've got the money.
We'll talk about Noah in a second. But yeah. Anyways. AEW is the dominant partner in that. AEW, New Japan is, it's not good, folks. Just so you know, it's not good. New Japan should not be begging for crumbs, but this is the position New Japan has put themselves in.
Yeah.
With their poor booking the last 5 years.
I mean, that being said, I am excited to see Takeshita in the G1.
Yes.
I think that'll be a great get to, especially because it seems like they're finally listening to everyone and making it like the young man's G1, they are actually going to put, well, for the most part, they're up and comers. Like, there's a lot of noticeable omissions or people who have been eliminated from this year's tournament. Whether it's
let's talk about the G1 then. While we're at it, let's talk about the G1. So they announced the participants plus this qualifying tournament to get the last two members of A Block and B Block in there, which I think is dumb.
More people should be forced to qualify, but that's neither here nor there.
No, well, it's also like, why? Because you want to sell tickets, try to sell tickets because your booking is so atrocious that you're running out of ideas to get people to pay money to see you guys live. You know, to the extent to the degree that you want to. I'm not saying their business is in trouble, but this just smacks of desperation to me. A Block. I'll do A Block. You can run down B Block. Shota Umino, Tetsuya Naito, Shingo Takagi, Sonata, Great O'Conn, Zack Sabre Jr., Gabe Kidd, Jake Lee, who I'm assuming is leaving Noah because he is going to dissolve Good Looking Guys. He says we'll get to the Noah part. We'll talk about that, but he's dissolving Jake Lee, which I assume means he's going to announce that he's going to jump to New Japan, and Evil and the winner of the qualifier. And let's find the, notes for the qualifier. Where's my notes for the qualifier? We have, who's qualifying. We have four people left, right? So we have Oleg Bolton defeated Tanahashi. So Tanahashi is not, this is the first time in 22 years he's not competing in the G1.
Somebody needs to eliminate me from the G1. I can't.
I think it's okay. I have no problem with this. Like you said, it's the young man's G1.
It's the young man's G1.
So that's in B Block. In A Block, Callum Newman defeated Kenta. Not upset with this. I don't think Kenta needs to be in the G1. In the other B Block qualifier, Taichi defeated TJP. Okay, you're gonna have TJP try potentially qualifying for this, but not fucking El Desperado or fucking Hiromu. What the fuck? Anyways,
I mean, it's
and finally,
my thoughts on that.
A Block qualifying, Yoshihashi defeating Tomohiro Ishii. So go through the B Block, Karen, and then we'll come with our predictions for who will be the qualifiers that get into the blocks ultimately.
So for B Block, we have El Phantasmo, Goto Hirooki, Yoda Tsuji, Yuya Uemura, Jeff Cobb, Henare, David Finlay, Ren Narita, Konosuke Takeshi. I love how Takeshi is like in all caps. He's not using, he's like, he has a Japanese name, guys. And the winner of the tournament final between Taichi and Oleg Bolton.
Okay, so we have Yoshihashi going to take on Callum Newman. I think it's going to be Yoshihashi. I don't see it making any sense to put Callum Newman in this, him being so new to the company. Everybody wants to see Yoshihashi in this, so I think he's going to be our A Block qualifier. What do you think about B Block?
If we're talking about a young man's G1, it should be Oleg Bolton, but Taichi is very beloved, and I think they really want to sell those Sapporo tickets, so they're probably going to put him through.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think Taichi will secure the last spot in the B Block. I am going to say I like B Block a little bit more than I like A Block, because I think standout performers from last year, El Phantasmo, I Jeff Cobb, Konosuke Takeshita, and Taichi. I think you got a lot of really great matchups. Unfortunately, you also have Ren Narita in his current incarnation, which is no good. But at least B Block does not have fucking Evil in it. Okay. Oh my God.
And my other concern is that with Gabe Kidd in A Block, I'm hoping that he just doesn't do what he did last year, which is like throw every single match. Like if they're serious about pushing him as a talent, especially now that he's one of the champions, I'm hoping that they can do the I'm not Eddie Kingston, but I'm going to be a Mad King anyway, Gabe Kidd. But I'm just hoping for a little more, but. We also have Zach and Sonata in that block, so I am curious to see how it's all going to play out, especially with Shingo, Naito, Sonata, and Evil all in the same block. It's kind of like a weird LIJ family reunion.
Yeah. Now, ultimate winner of A block and ultimate winner of B block, and who's going to win? Early prediction, Karen. What's your gut feeling here?
I mean, I feel like Zach Sabre. It's either Zach Sabre Jr. or Jeff have to go to the finals this year. Like those have been guys that they've been trying. They've been kind of like they're not hitting the right timing on them. And I feel like if Zach doesn't win the G1 or at least get to the finals, I feel like he's gonna be one of the people that could potentially have a foot out the door by the end of the year. But if amongst the younger guys, I would love to see Yota Tsuji win it, especially if, you know, you're going to try to do the Naito carries the belt to the dome and you want it to put the belt on a young guy, it'd be him. I think Takeshi's going to have a good tournament. I don't think they're going to let him go all the way through to the semi or the finals. Hopefully Umino is healthy enough, because I know that he was dealing with an injury that had him resting up until like the G1. Do you think – oh, wait, no, there's no X's in this tournament. Never mind. I was going to say what the likelihood of Katsuhiko Nakajima would be in this one, but he showed up in Gleet instead.
He's in Gleet now. What a fall. Anyways, for me, I'm going to – my gut saying I think Great O'Conn will win A block.
Ooh, good call.
Because I think they're finally going to pull the trigger on this guy that I think they see a lot of potential in.
Yoshihashi might do really well.
But I feel Yoshihashi is slotted as a mid-card guy, I think. So my guess is Great O'Conn. And then in B block, I think he will face Yota Tsuji. And I think Yota Tsuji is going to win the B block, and they're going to do LIJ
at the dome
leader versus LIJ rising star Yota Tsuji. And I think Yota Tsuji is going to have a war with Konosuke Takeshita.
Oh yeah.
To secure the finals. And I think Great O'Conn will have a wrestling clinic with Zack Sabre Jr. to secure his A block. And guess what, folks? You can hear all the reviews here at postwrestling.com because myself, Karen, are part of a big team of noted G1 veteran reviewers, including John Paul, including Wei Ting. I think Eric Marcotte is coming back.
Yep, Kate from Montreal,
Bruce Lord, a lot of people.
Opening weekend, you'll get a double. You'll have. I think the opening weekend on the 20th and 21st is all block matches. So y'all are going to be in for a very long listen with Bruce and I first Sunday.
I think I have to double check the email, but I think I was slated to do three and I said, I can't do one of them. And
yeah,
I think
that was, you bailed on me.
I'm sorry.
But me and Kate, the girls are going to squad
there you
up.
Go.
We're going to squad
first
up.
First time?
The G in the G1 is for the girls.
There you go. I think that's an improvement. Like, you talk to me all the time. You don't need to talk to me about the G1.
I know.
You talk with Kate from Montreal. There you go. Karen and Kate, the double K's. The double dangerous K's. I don't know. I'm just making shit up right now. Okay. That's
not your best work.
Listen, this is third time in like fucking 2 weeks with you, and I had to deal with.
Are you over me? Is that what you're saying?
I had to deal with fucking Brandon from New Jersey on MCU later last night, and some fucking stupid email from fucking Jermaine. All right, so you'll have to forgive me. Anyways, final New Japan note: New Japan announced a new show called Wrestle Dynasty. That would be held at the fucking Tokyo Dome. Oh, God. July 5th at the Tokyo Dome. Are you fucking kidding me? You're not going to fucking sell at the Tokyo Dome in July. You fucking insane?
No, it's the day after Wrestle Kingdom. It's the Sunday the 5th.
I thought, my note says July 5th. I guess I got it wrong here.
No. Oh. It's
January 5th at the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah, it's
fuck
it's,
off. Not you, Karen, obviously.
Well, I mean, New Japan. Fine.
New Japan, fuck off.
Yeah, no, it's. Remember back in 2020 when they were supposed to have that August Madison Square Garden show that was the Wrestle Dynasty? Well, Pepperidge Farm remembers, and that's now what the name of the show is going to be at the Tokyo Dome. The Tokyo Dome is a bit further away than Madison Square Garden, y'all. But it's supposed to include AEW, Ring of Honor, Stardom, CMLL, like the gang's all here. I'm guessing.
Why?
I mean, it's a weekend, so they can have the show early enough that everyone can make the Shinkansen home. I think it works out because, you know, usually everything in Japan is closed between January 1st and 3rd, and the 4th is a Saturday. So they could easily probably, you know, back when we went in 2020, it was a Saturday, Sunday kind of deal. So,
well,
I'll be watching from my couch. So
we'll be keeping an eye on it, Karen. I don't know what they're going to do to like draw attendance, like, because it's not Wrestle Kingdom Night 2.
I mean, you're going to have Kenny Omega probably in the Tokyo Dome.
Are we? Well, I hope he recovers. I hope he has a very healthy.
You had Forbidden Door. Where was Jay White? Can somebody tell me where Jay White was?
Listen, nobody wants to see fucking Jay White back in New Japan, okay? Nobody.
But the Japanese fans want to see new Jay White.
You know what? If you have the Bang Bang Gang,
the Pew Pew Posse,
the AW version of Jay White doing American television wrestling against other American television wrestlers in Japan, that's fine. Just don't have him fight Japanese wrestlers trying to do, and him doing his bullshit, you know, square peg through a fucking round hole bullshit in Japan anymore. I have come around on Jay White on American television, which I have steadfastly always said that's where he belongs because he is a great character wrestler and a great promo, and he's showing it, even though he got bullshit fucked over by MJF. Okay. He's recovering slowly but surely and rising with the Bang Bang Gang. And I cannot believe I'm actually enjoying Juice Robinson too, but there you go. See what happens when you put wrestlers in the correct fucking context that they should be in. Okay. In fucking American wrestlers, Western wrestlers, and Western fucking wrestling settings. Wow, what a concept. Let's move on, Karen. Let's go to All Japan Pro Wrestling. I just wanted to quickly talk about a couple of things. We're going to Kyo Iwata, legendary All Japan Wrestling referee, has going to announce his 50th anniversary.
Good grief.
In which he will referee a special 6-man tag match on July 20th at Korakuen Hall. And I think I have a listing for that show. We're going to have, and we also saw, I watched this, Yuma Anzai, the current Triple Crown heavyweight champion. He defeated your good friend Hideki Suzuki because he was in NXT. He lived close by. No, I don't know if he did or not. I'm just making that up. But Anzai won. It was his second successful title defense. The next challenger will be the legend himself, the Tanahashi of All Japan, Suwama. Anzai accepted the challenge. Karen, and he's going to beat Suwama because that would make no sense for Suwama to win this belt again, especially over Yuma Anzai. No, listen, like someone seems to have a fucking head on their shoulders over at All Japan. So I'm confident that this is going to go through. So anyways, the card that will happen on will be Summer Action Series 2024 at the Edion Arena Osaka, second stadium, the one in the basement. All right, so I'm just going to go through this. So we're going to see, what are we going to see here on this show? Riki Honda and Ren Knight Ayabe, who are in the same faction as Rising Hayato, your favorite All Japan wrestler.
He's the one with the guy liner, right?
That's right. Versus Shotaro Ishino and, oh, making his return, the Bodyguard. Have you ever seen the Bodyguard?
Karen? I have not, the actual movie with Kevin Costner.
No, the wrestler from Osaka.
I cannot say that I have.
Okay, you go look him up, okay? he's like 56 and looks like he's still on steroids. It's amazing. World Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Rising Hayato taking on Naruki Doi, who's pretending his last name is Saito so he can hang out with the Saito brothers in a faction. The World Tag Championship match, the aforementioned Saito brothers will take on Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. I do not see them winning the titles. I would actually like to see Yuma team with somebody else. I would love to see Shotaro Shino and Yuma Aoyagi form a tag team. I think that would be fresh And Kento Miyahara, listen, Kento Miyahara, this is, you know what? Have I told you my idea for Kento Miyahara now? With Yuma Anzai as being kind of like the new young top gun in this company. Okay, Kento Miyahara turns into Jumbo Tsuruta in the sense that he's the sour, grumpy veteran.
Grumpy old man.
That's right. Okay, and Jumbo in his war against like Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, he had fucking one of the four pillars, Akira Taue. So Ren Ayabe should be fucking Kento Miyahara's Akira Taue because he's so fucking tall. And I think him and Miyahara and like a couple other guys just going having multi-man tag matches and winning the tag titles and going to war with Ren Ayabe and whoever his tag team partner would be. Give me that. Just book that shit. People want to see that. Anyways. And the main event, Yuma Anzai will take on Suwama. That should be a very good show. What else do we have?
Your notes are so extensive.
they are. Like, I'm not going to read all of them because we kind of don't want to do this. Okay, so the Kyoei Wada anniversary tag match that he will referee, Suwama, Dan Tamura, and Takao Omori versus Masanobu Fuchi, Jun Saito, and Rei Saito. That's pretty – that should be fun. Then finally, it was announced, but kind of behind the scenes, Karen, Yuji Shindo, who was like, for those of you who watch Big Japan Pro Wrestling, he's the man who has the red highlights and the punk rock hair, very fashionable, man, dressed very well for Big Japan Pro Wrestling. He was the ring announcer. He has now joined All Japan, which I think is great. He's a great ring announcer. And, he has started this month. He's going to be doing, he's going to do a lot of other shows. Like he's going to do, ring announcing for DDT, for Glee, Evolution Joshi, Sendai Girls, Tenryu Project. But his main focus will be he is going to work for All Japan, which I think is great. You get some fresh blood in the company, even in things like, you know, ring announcing. I think it makes the company look, gives it a kind of fresh paint of coat. Coat of paint. I always get sick. All right. Pro Wrestling Noah, Karen, AJ Styles, we talked about this. He is going to have a match on the July 13th show against Naomichi Marufuji. I think he will win. I do not see and I don't think it matters because Marufuji will say, hey, I wrestled a former IWGP WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Jake Lee announced that Good Looking Guys will be no more after the July 13th show.
Whatever am I going to do?
At the Budokan. And Jake's refused to confirm or deny if this is related to his involvement in the NJPW G1 Climax. So
he is not allowed to join Bullet Club. He is not allowed to join Bullet Club.
No, he's going to join LIJ.
L.I. Jake? Is that what we're calling it now?
L.I. Los Ingobernables, Good Looking Guys. There you go. Shingo Takagi would be like so ecstatic about that. And he and Kaito Kimiya, who retained the GHC heavyweight title miraculously over Gabe Kidd at the Grand Ship in Yokohama show from June 16th, he will take on former tag team partner, the big man, Yoshiki Inamura, who's now known as, in all caps, Yoichi, who returned to Japan from an excursion in Europe where he primarily wrestled for WXW. And I would see a lot of my fellow wrestling fans as European wrestling fans, Twitter, like a lot of pictures from WXW shows. And I was like, this guy looks good. And I totally did not put together that Yoichi and Yoshiki were Inamura were the same person, but like he had awesome gear. Since coming back. And I honestly, like, I think you put the belt on this guy. I think he's ready.
Sure.
And yeah, I don't, Kaito, just go to All Japan, bro. That's all. Anyways, the full card, July 13th at the Nippon Budokan. It's a Budokan Hall show. Karen, Ninja Mac and Junta Miyawaki versus Alejandro and Cristobal versus Hajime Ohara and Super Crazy. Takashi Sugiura, Kazuyuki Fujita, and Shuhei Taniguchi taking on Masakita Miya, Manabu Soya, and Daiki Inaba. Shuji Kondo, Eita, and Akira Not the New Japan Akira versus Yoshinari, or is it? I can't remember now. Yoshinari Egawa, Ryohei Oiwa, and Yu Awada. Special singles match, Kenno versus Yuji Nagata. That should be kicky.
Yes, that's going to be grumpy old men kicking each other, and I'm here for it.
Jake Lee, Yohei, and Tadasuke. GALG final six-man tag match taking on Jack Morris, Anthony Green, and LJ Clear. I'm sure a lot of crying fans, not me, but will be in attendance.
Leave me alone! let me pour one out and have a good cry.
0-1 sanctioned World Heavyweight Championship match. The 33rd champion, Akitoshi Saito, will take on Go Shiozaki. I think Go's going to win the 0-1 title.
Probably.
Okay. GHC United National Championship match. Hayata will take on Oka Sasaki. Hayata defeated. Who did he defeated? It was Jack Morris, didn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. A GHC Junior Heavyweight title. Daga, the current champion, will take on Amasaka, a title defense. I think Amasaka is going to win this belt. I think, yeah. You know, V8, it's good. It's good for Daga.
It's a good number.
Okay, now I got to say, Karen, this semi-main event, this is like, whoa. Lucha Libre special tag match. Dr. Wagner Jr. We're teaming with his brother, as our good friend JP Houlihan would say, this man is a unit. Proper unit, mate. Proper unit.
An absolute unit.
Absolute unit, mate. Leno Del Mal, which means, I think it means, and it translates into evil doctor, which is, you know, what, you know, doctors are in Lucha Libre. They tend to be evil. The medicos, they tend to be evil. We'll take on Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf. Oh my God. I love when luchadors fight in Japan. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorry. That's the other semi-main event. The big semi-main event, Marufuji versus AJ, should be fun. I don't think it'll be great, but I think it should be fun. And then finally, Kaito Kimiya defending his GHC heavyweight title in a second title defense against Yoichi. I am hoping Yoichi will win this belt. Let's quickly move on. 0-1. Karen, we're going to talk a little bit 0-1 because Masato Tanaka, the legend, will celebrate 30 years of being a pro wrestler. Jesus.
Oh my God.
On July 11th at Shinjuku Face, taking on his one of his regular tag team partners, Takashi Sugiura. That should be fun. Gleet. I want to talk about Gleet. One thing, Kazayashi, he had his retirement match. And Shima lost the G Infinity Championship to Kaito Ishida and Tetsuya Izuchi. And they are members of this group called the Black Generation International. I don't follow Gleet enough to know who they are. I think they're the heel faction in here. And then, oh yeah, Kota Ibushi had a 5-minute exhibition. Listen, Kota, just take it. Relax, pal. Just get better, okay?
Isn't he supposed to still be trying to heal up his?
Well, it was his 20th ankles? Anniversary in wrestling, Karen. So
I know, but
he fought Daisuke Sekimoto, who I'm sure took it easy on him. They went to a 5-minute time limit draw.
Okay,
sure. See, not even fucking Noah wants to do it. So he went to Gleet and said, they said yeah, because they don't care. Okay,
I just want people who are injured to properly take time to take care of themselves.
Okay, so
what do I know?
The big note was, though, that you mentioned this before, Karen. Katsuhiko Nakajima shows up in Gleet. He took on Takanori Ito for the vacant Ledet UWF World Championship, and he became the new champion. Of course he did, because politically he gets what he wants via referee stuff with a seated armbar. And he hinted at wanting a match against Minoru Tanaka. And then, so that would be fun. I think Nakajima versus Minoru Tanaka, that'd be a fun match. So
yes,
there you go. And but also he said he wants to nominate Suwama to be his first challenger. Like, that would be interesting. Anyways, and you know what? We'll end it off there because I think that's the big news. You know, Katsuki Nakajima in Gleet, not going to New Japan, at least not this year. Maybe next year, you know, doesn't go insane in the meantime. But Karen, it's oh, one more note. Yes, Karen, I'm sorry.
Well, this is the last minute note that you and I discovered. Very spicy match for charity, because it's for the Takayama Mania show. Apparently, we're gonna get Minoru Suzuki versus Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah, so Takayama Mania Empire.
Yeah,
which is all the proceeds go to pay for Yoshihiro Takayama's medical bills as he recovers from his tragic accident. He's paralyzed. But yeah, so this is a charity show they do every, you know, when they can. And yeah, God, what a main event. I think, you know, like Shibata's, he seems fine.
Yeah.
He takes bumps in AEW. So this is his first match in Japan, I think.
Since he left New Japan, I think this is his first match back. But yeah, that'll be September 3rd at Korakuen Hall.
Yeah, so
I want to see this match very badly.
Yeah, I think like Corrigan Hall is going to explode when Shibata comes out.
There will be tears. People need bath towels to wipe up all the tears.
And you know what? Here's what they could possibly, if Wrestle Dynasty has AEW involvement. Okay, the only match I think that could help possibly sell out the Tokyo Dome on the 5th, the day after Wrestle Kingdom. Okay, hear me out, Karen. Katsuyori Shibata versus Kazuchika Okada.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
The rematch of the match that almost killed Shibata. That's how you mark. I'm sorry. I don't have to be morbid or it's fucking wrestling. That's how you market it.
Yeah.
You play all the footage that New Japan will probably happily provide, because they can say, oh, we got Shibata and Okada back on one of our cards.
Yeah.
There you go. To get Okada back on a New Japan branded card, they would bend over backwards for sure. So that's the match I think they could possibly want to go for, is Shibata versus Okada. Of course, Okada probably put his foot down saying, I'm not, no headbutts. Okay. If we do headbutts, they're all worked. There are no shoot headbutts.
Yes.
Just work. So that's it. Shibata back in Japan, awesome. I kind of wish I could go to that show. I would love to see him back in his element, which, you know, here's the thing. I do enjoy him in AEW. I like this group he's in with Hook and Samoa Joe. I think it's a good fit. I kind of wish Orange Cassidy was in there with them, believe it or not, but there you go.
I think I was hesitant at first, but I think he's found a way to work around the thing that's been keeping him out of the ring the most. And he also gets to show a little bit of personality with it. I still can't believe Samoa Joe calls him Speak and Spell. It's a lot.
But, you know, Joe has like nicknames for a lot of people.
I know, but Joe, he's my favorite Samoan Joseph. He's amazing.
I love Joe. I've always loved Joe. I loved him in ROH. I thought he had an amazing run in NXT. He got fucked in on main roster because of stupid Vince.
Yeah.
If this was now, he would have pushed him. But hey, you know what? He's had a very good run in AEW. Yeah. So there you go. Anyways, on that note, for Karen, I'm going to say thanks to all the listeners for supporting both of us. You know, we have t-shirts over at chopped-tees.com. Shout out to Dickie Bird, aka Richard Avian. Karen's got her Empress t-shirt, which is a great summer wear. Great all year round, but it looks very nice in the summer.
I mean, there is a pastel blue option, and that's my signature color, y'all. So
there you go. Post Perez t-shirt. MCU Later t-shirt, sweater. Karen, there might be a new MCU Later shirt coming out soon.
I mean, I may or may not have been
it's being tweaked.
Keyed in on the that particular update.
It's being tweaked as we speak.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, a little peek behind the curtain. Rich Fan said, can you tell the designer I want to look less like Bully Ray?
Oh.
And I said, okay. That's his words. So we're trying to make Rich Fan look less white on this t-shirt.
I mean, when he says that, I'm like, of course. That's a very fair request.
It is. completely. So, but I, you know, I've shown it to people and they're like, oh my God, looks great. So I can't wait to debut it. You know who hasn't seen it yet? Dickie Bird. Dickie hasn't seen it yet.
So oh my gosh.
He's like, when the fuck am I going to see it, mate? You just chill out, bro. Anyways, Long and Winding Railroad. That show should be coming out with a new episode all about Jumbo Surda coming out sometime in the next couple of weeks, if not next week. Excuse me. But that's all I have. You can follow me on Twitter. I don't really post on Twitter anymore. I'm a fucking cesspool. I stopped going there, really. Karen, where can people find more of Karen Peterson?
Well, I mean, you can always head over to thepostwrestling.com, where I have my monthly column, Dream Slam Monthly. The volume 18 for recapping all of June is available right now. Usually at the Post Wrestling Cafe, you know, I am the priestess of the paywall when it comes to New Japan reviews with my buddy Bruce Lord, but we are resting our pipes for, cause the G1, and there's a lot of heavy lifting on the G1 this year. So I'll be doing one weekend recap with Bruce, one weekend recap with Kate, the semifinals with John Pollock, the boss man himself, and then the finals, the unholy trio of you, me, and Bruce will be going over the G1 finals, and then all I right. am on vacation, so I'll see y'all in September.
let me see what show is I doing. Okay, I'm doing Sunday, August 4th, Dolphins Arena in Nagoya with Eric Marcotte. Cool. Let's see. And then only two shows. And then I will do the finals with you and Bruce on Sunday, August. Cause I specifically requested like days I don't have to work, which would be Sundays and Mondays. I can't do, for whatever reason, I can't do the 29th. I forget why, but it's Bruce and Kate. That should be fine. But yeah, I think, yeah, you and Kate, man, that's awesome, dude.
And we'll have, I think we have post pro res somewhere in there.
We'll have it somewhere.
August is I have double orientation weeks this year instead of 1 week of orientation, which is the worst week of the year for me. I have two with a 1 week break in between before my vacation. So it's, I will be warmed over death by the time you find me mid August.
It's okay. Warmed over death, Karen, is better than a lot of other podcasts.
Oh, thanks.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for everyone for tuning in. And yeah, Karen, I'll be back next month. Warmed over death, probably for both of us. We'll see. And until next time, I will say goodbye and see you on the next show.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of... one, drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.